You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Glad to have you on board on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, we're Danette down. Paulie got an early start to the holiday weekend. Yes, that's Todd. He's really happy.
Already. One minute in is what we're doing.
Yeah. welcome to the program, already in progress, apparently. But McLovin's here, Fritzy's here, and Seton O'Connor is here as well. The boys in the back, those on running the show on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. That would be Dylan, Tyler the moderator, moderating the chat row, and the birthday boy from yesterday, the big German. Let me see. Got a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Don Mattingly, Marlins manager, get his thoughts on resuming the season. Scott Zolak, Patriots radio analyst, will join us a little bit later on. His thoughts on Cam Newton. Tony Clark, the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, will join us. I'm curious what he thinks of the interview yesterday that I had with the commissioner, Rob Manfred, who said we were set on 60 games and we weren't budging off of that. So he'll join us. And also one of the great stories, if I said this guy is in the top 1% of best shooters in the NBA right now, and he plays for the Miami Heat, you probably still wouldn't guess his name. Got a great backstory, and I thought Duncan Robinson, the Heat forward, would be a great guest to have on because they started practicing yesterday. Andre Iguodala played with the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry. He gets to Miami. He thinks Duncan Robinson is the ball boy. Then he starts to see him shoot. And then Andre Iguodala, who's been around the NBA for, what, 15 years, says he's the best shooter I've ever seen. He doesn't take twos. Duncan Robinson, you know, like, there's a place in my heart for him because all he does is shoot threes. So Duncan Robinson will join us coming up a little bit later on because there's some nervous guys going into the bubble and how much confidence they have. So we'll talk to him coming up. McLovin will have a poll question for you. NFL reportedly will cut 2 weeks out of the preseason this year, and most fans probably wouldn't mind. Although the fact that we haven't had many sports, many games, you probably will be like, I'm missing those preseason games. Teams really shouldn't be able to force the season ticket holders to buy preseason tickets anyway. I forgot all about this. There used to be 6 preseason games per team. And I didn't mind when I was younger. You know, but then after a while, you realize, hey, if you want your season tickets, you have to buy your preseason tickets as well. But this is going to be a little bit different this year where the teams do need the preseason games. Normally, you know, I'm shouting from the mountaintops, let's cut it in half. You know, maybe cut off one of them. But you would think that 2 remaining games would be reserved mostly for the starters. What's going to happen is this season will be about depth. And are you going to be able to have those players, free agents, rookies, get an opportunity to really showcase their talents? The practice squad's more important than ever. You're going to need the extra reps. The starters now need the extra reps in preseason. And those who are trying to make the team need those reps. They won't be able to showcase their talents. And, you know, the NFL is going to actually cut one preseason game when they expand to 17 regular season games. So we're going to find out how 2 works out. There's no chance that, you know, they're going to, well, there is a chance, I should say. There is a chance that they will cancel all the preseason games. I think that's going on behind the scenes here. But this is going to have a real impact on rosters once the leagues start. And, you know, there's a few things going on with the NFL, you know, behind the scenes. And this is one of them, because what they want to do is they take away the first preseason game. So the first preseason game will actually be week 2. And then they're going to take away the 4th preseason game, which will now actually be the 3rd preseason. So weeks 2 and 3 are going to be your preseason. Now, here's the logic. They want a little leeway in going into the first preseason game if anybody has tested positive, and then they take off the 4th one, so you're going to have a little bit of room there. If somebody tests positive, they could still be ready for the season opener. So you give them 2 weeks to get ready if you play the final preseason game in the 3rd week as opposed to the 4th week. That's the logic behind all of this. Also, a little bit more drama with the Washington Redskins, because – Now you're getting some financial pressure. This is when things happen. You know, when sponsors start to bail, that's when things happen. And three separate letters signed by 87 investment firms and shareholders worth a collective $620 billion ask Nike, FedEx, and PepsiCo to terminate their business relationships with the Washington Redskins unless the team agrees to change its controversial name. This goes back to, I don't even know how many years I've been telling you this, but my source has proven to be correct on this. The Redskins would like to relocate back into D.C., downtown D.C. They played at RFK Stadium and maybe go back and then they want a new stadium. But I was told that the commissioner has said to Daniel Snyder, if you come back, you must change the name. And there is a push for Daniel Snyder to bring the Redskins back. But now you're getting a real push from sponsors. And Daniel Snyder said in 2013 he would never change the name. He might not change the name, but somebody may change the name for him. But now you're getting the financial pressure there that, you know, you could see. And if it's going to happen, it has to happen now. Given the climate of this country, this is really it. And does the commissioner jump in? And if he doesn't, why not? What would be the downside for him if he decides to jump in? You know, we've had these stories about the commissioner and his legacy. And I think you can make a ton of money. And the commissioner's made a ton of money. I think you start to look at, how are people viewing me? What is my legacy going to be? I don't know the commissioner. Obviously, he has a problem with me and or the show. He hasn't been on in 7 or 8 years. But I respect what he does because his job is to make money for the owners. That's what he does, and he does a great job, and he takes the slings and arrows. He takes bullets, you know, from the media, fans, all of that. But here he is with Colin Kaepernick, and now maybe with the Washington Redskins. And maybe I'm speculating too much, getting over my skis, but if I'm looking at the commissioner, I could see two things happening. Getting Kaepernick on a roster and changing the Washington Redskins' name. I could see that. And I don't know how long he's going to stay as the commissioner. I don't know how long he wants to, but these are things that would be pretty prominent. And maybe he doesn't think about the Hall of Fame. You got Paul Tagliabue going into the Hall of Fame, and he wasn't well-liked. But he's going in the Hall of Fame. These are two things that this commissioner can hang his hat on, and it could open the doors, I think, to the Hall of Fame. Yes, Eden.
It's possible that I'm reading too much into this, but I find it interesting that, I mean, obviously the pressure to change the name kind of has to come from the investors, I guess, right? If you're going to have all these business investors, they're going to pressure the Redskins to change the name, and they're also the same people that are probably going to make all of the money off of the name change.
That is true. If I'm Nike, I want to put pressure on the Washington Redskins to say, hey, I think we need to change the nickname. We need some new merchandise in here. It does feel like those who want change are going to make a lot of money off of this. And this goes back to what I've said about Daniel Snyder. You're going to make all of this new revenue. You can say, I didn't want to change this, because as Daniel Snyder likes to say, we say, hail to the Redskins. Fight for old DC. Well, that should be enough, right? You could get a whole new stream of merchandising money. We could help him with that. Yeah, see.
Plus all of the good PR of changing the name.
Yes.
It seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah. But if you're the commissioner, you get Kaepernick in the league, and now you change the nickname of the Washington Redskins, now people look at you differently. Yeah, McLevin.
How is he supposed to get Kaepernick into the league, though?
Well, I know people keep thinking, well, he'll just pressure some teams. I think you have to soften the stance of the NFL and their adverse reaction to Colin Kaepernick, you know, the owners, and understanding that this is what's going to happen during this season, or, you know, prior to the start of games. That will allow teams, I think, to have a little bit more open mind about Colin Kaepernick. I think that's what the commissioner is trying to say is, hey, I'm in it with the players. I'm in it with Kaepernick. I understand what he was fighting for. We understand that. I think that's what he's trying to do, is make it a little easier for an owner to bring in Colin Kaepernick. And the Washington Redskins, you know, the commissioner, that would be, you know, you pick up the baton and race to the finish line, be able to change that name. I think that'd be pretty impactful. This program, and look, I don't have any inside information on that other than what I told you, that Daniel Snyder was told if he was coming back into town, he had to change the nickname if they were going to get a new stadium. And that's probably been 5 years ago, I was told that. This program is brought to you by Traeger. Got the Traeger fired up today. Hot dogs. I think we got burgers. We got teriyaki chicken. I think we got it all. We're going to feed the masses today.
Sounds like a straight-up barbecue we
got
going.
It is. Yes. It is. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show to get started. Yes, Tom.
And baseball's back with spring training. We just need a little apple pie, and we're good to go.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
All right, so Don Mattingly will join us coming up. This day in sports history. What kind of poll question do you have for me, McLevin?
Okay, today, as of Thursday, July 2nd, are you pro-bubble or no-bubble? Which is the better solution? And I'll ask this every week. Where things are, the bubble in Orlando, do you think it feels like a safe place now, or is it a tough situation?
It's safer.
Safer than being home?
I don't know if it's safe. I would rather keep everybody in one location so I can keep an eye on them, monitor them closely. But this isn't a bubble. Isn't the soccer league in a bubble? Aren't they supposed to be in a bubble?
I think they're in Orlando and supposed to be in some form of isolation.
Yeah, MLS. FC Dallas got hit with positive tests. 9 players this week. So Wednesday you had 6 players. Now you've had 3 more. And they're supposed to be in a bubble. The players tested negative before leaving Dallas to go to Orlando. And here we are sending all the NBA teams into Orlando. Remember when we shut down all the sports because of Rudy Gobert testing positive? Now I got 9 players in the MLS testing positive, and there's, I guess everything I've read is, hey, we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this tournament. Yeah, see.
The attitude towards all of it has shifted so much since Rudy Gobert.
Yes, it has.
So,
And obviously we know more, but we went from we're going to shut every sport down to 9 tests positive. All right, we're still going to continue. Nothing to see here. What other poll questions do you have, McLevin?
Okay, you have to answer this affirmatively because he's coming on next. Is Don Mattingly a Hall of Famer? Yes or no, eye test?
No.
That's funny. He's at the top of every snub list.
Really? He won an MVP. They didn't win a World Series when he was there. I think they won the year after he retired. I think 9 gold gloves, a couple of batting titles. He's the Hall of Very Good. You start to put in Don Mattingly. He had the bad back, and he was forced to retire early. But then do I put in Dale Murphy in there? Like, there's a group there of the Hall of Very Good. And as much as I love Donnie, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, Tom.
But if you're on the Hall of Fame fence and you have a cool nickname like Donnie Baseball, shouldn't that be just enough to fall into Cooperstown?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think just a cool...
He's Donnie Baseball. How can Donnie Baseball not be in the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum?
Ted Williams was Teddy Ballgame. Yeah. I don't know how he got that nickname, Teddy Ballgame. Because I always thought that when he came to the plate, ballgame, like ball game over, Teddy ballgame.
That's not what it means?
I don't know. I don't know, but maybe you could Google it instead of offering up pithy little comments here. Paul's not here.
It's true.
Yeah, Paul's not here, and look at Todd. He's booked, 4 guests, so you're good.
I'm golden.
Yeah?
Vacation coming
Are you?
Up.
Are
Hot
you?
Dogs and hamburger. I'm not good. No,
you're not.
I got to make sure I keep my mic off while you were going to be interviewing these 4 guests coming up.
Yeah, that shouldn't be hard for you to remember, right?
That was terrible yesterday.
With Marv Albert.
The laugh was bad, laughing on the air while you're talking to Marv. It's everything you could possibly break down, I did the wrong thing.
Do we have that sound from yesterday, I wonder? Yeah, Seton.
We're going to have to dig that up. Should have had that.
79 is the new 78. You realize?
Todd.
So
I had my mic.
Yeah, I'll be watching it. I hope it gets on.
Why did I continue talking on the air? I got nervous. I made it worse. I thought you wanted to have a little fun banter when you said Todd. It's like I should say
no,
something.
No, I was
back
yelling
to
at you basically to turn off your microphone.
In the moment, I thought you were like, we were going to have like one of those little things we do when we're playing, like, you know, when there's a
no,
sponsorship.
No, I wasn't.
Costello act.
I wasn't playing.
Oh, I have my mic on.
Yeah. Play it again. Play it again one more time.
79 is the new 78. You realize?
Todd.
I have my mic.
Yeah, I'll be watching it. I hope it gets off.
So
I think
bad.
That.
It's so bad.
I love Marvelous, too. He's just rolling right there.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm heading over to... he's just going to keep rolling with it, no matter what's going
on. I was thinking about going, but I'm old. Yes, I'm being interrupted by one of your producers.
Somebody tell that guy to shut up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That was just... All right, we have something to add to the embarrassment file.
877-3DP show email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP show.
The embarrassment file might have some legs. That might be a whole new video series for us. The embarrassment files.
Why did I say, my mic is on? While my mic is on, like right then and there when you said Todd, I should have been the end of it.
Shouldn't you be asking yourself?
I am. I'm kind of speaking aloud.
I prefer that you use your quiet voice.
I'm going to promise you that these four interviews will go off without a hitch. You will not hear a peep from me. That I will show you.
Can you guarantee that?
Yes, I'm going to guarantee that. Because I'm going to be staring at my on-off mic button the whole time.
The 79 is the new 78. You realize?
Todd.
I
have my mic.
Yeah, I'll be watching it. I hope it gets off.
I got another. That's a good line.
He shot me. Shot you a dirty look. No.
I'll never learn. That's the sad thing. We're doing this almost two decades, and I can't figure out basic technical skills.
Yes, Eden.
Has Donnie Baseball checked in yet?
He has.
All right, we should take a break. 18 after the hour.
I'm not going to talk over the interview. I'm just talking
you
over
just
you
talk
right
over
now.
Me.
Go ahead. It's your show. You should be the one talking. It should be a good interview.
Don Mattingly is going to join us next year on the Dan Patrick Show. Todd may not. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. 4th of July sale, danpatrick.com, 15% off all t-shirts for limited time just through Sunday. Use the promo code July4th at checkout. Promo code July4th at danpatrick.com. 15% off all t-shirts through Sunday. We'll get to phone calls. McLovin will settle on a poll question. Got a play of the day coming up. He's the Marlins manager, Don Mattingly, back on the program. Man, look at the hair. That's flowing there, Donnie.
Well, it's, you know, quarantine. You can't get a haircut. What are you going to do?
Looks good there. Can you settle something? Because somebody said they gave me your age, and I go, I think Don screwed up his age years ago that you told the New York reporters you were one age, like, but you were actually a year older. Does that sound right?
You're younger.
Oh, you're younger. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you were lying.
Basically. No, I was really just messing with him.
Well, how did it happen?
I told him one day, I'm like, cause I was like 23 or 22, you know, everybody wants to be younger. Right. And I'm like, no, I'm 21. And they're like, no, you're 20. I'm like, you got to bring proof. Right. In those days, you had the photocopy IDs, a little white out, reprint it, and it put the new date, and they bought it. I mean, it's New York reporters. What are you going to do?
But I think there was a Topps baseball card that has your birth date as a wrong birth date.
It did. It came out after that.
Do you have all your baseball cards of the ones that you were on?
No, but I've seen like people's books and stuff. They'll show them to me, and there are so many cards, and there's cards that you like. I had never seen these before, right? So there's so many different cards.
How much did you keep from your playing days?
I was a little bit of a collector of like guys that I liked, like George Brett. You know, asked for a bat. Jim Rice, guys that I liked and liked the way they played. That's kind of what I was a collector of other people's. You know, my mom was a collector of, I mean, not a collector, but a keeper, right?
Yeah.
And your first contract and, you know, all those type of things end up being in a box, and they're still in a box in our storage unit somewhere.
Did you get anything from a pitcher? You just mentioned hitters.
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I respected a few of them, but no, always hitters.
Did you have a pitcher, though, that you respected but you didn't like?
I think Roger was one of the guys, Clemens, that you respected the way he went about it. I remember a game in New York in his big year. Well, he had a lot of big years, but I think it was 86.
Yeah.
And his stuff was off the charts. And faced him in New York, and I was a pretty good fastball hitter. I really didn't feel like there was anybody beat me with a fastball my whole career. And he threw me nothing but fastballs that day. And it was paint. It was paint up and in. It was paint down and in. It was paint low and away. It was paint up and away. And after I think it was my third at bat, and he was probably in like the seventh or something, I said, "Hey, Rich," it was Gedman catching, I said, "How about a breaking ball just for the ref?" But that day he was just flat out for me. Like, he didn't miss a spot with the fastball, and you have to respect the guy that came after you like that.
And he knows you're a fastball hitter, and he's just bringing cheese as if to say, "You think you're a good fastball hitter. I think I'm a really good fastball thrower."
Yeah, and those are fun, right? There's a few times you get guys like that to just go, "Hey, let's go." And, you know, that was Roger. Roger was – but he was tough. Like, there was a – I don't know if I've told you this story before. We're in Boston, and I think it was Rick Roden hit a couple guys early. And after the second guy, I hear Roger's pitching that day, and I'm at first, and first in Boston's like 8 feet away from their dugout, and I hear, "I'm going to crack somebody's helmet open." And I know, I feel like Roger's talking right in my ear. And so I come up the next inning. I don't know if it was two outs, nobody on, or first hitter, and he threw one off the backstop. And I think he kind of stopped all the nonsense that day.
I don't know what that's like if somebody homers in front of you and you know that somebody's buzzing the tower. Like, what's that? You didn't do anything wrong, but what's that feeling like when you go, "God, this is going to hurt"?
Well, you don't always know what the homer, like, to be honest with you, with Tony La Russa out in Oakland, you knew when you were going to get it, right? And we hit Big Mac one day and didn't mean to. It was like a 3-2 count. I think Dave LaPointe got him in the head. He'd been hit like three times. He ducked right into it. And I come up the next inning with two outs and nobody on. And Tony was like first baseman for first baseman, oh, right? So Mac got it. I'm up, two outs, nobody on. Dave Stewart on the mound.
Ooh.
And it was like Stu came up, and then it was like, instead of like keeping his going towards the plate, he just went, turned directly to me, hit me right in the middle of the back. And I was like, oh, that one hurt. And you kind of knew it was coming that day.
Oh. The unwritten rules of baseball, Donnie. Is anybody going to write down the unwritten rules of baseball?
There are probably too many, and then probably everybody's interpretation of them, right? It's just it's changed a lot. And, you know, you're not going to be one of those guys that say, "Oh, the old days, this and that." It's just changed. I think the game has evolved, and it's just not going to be that way anymore. It's, you know, you still have guys that play hard and get after it and, you know, can do it in the right way, but you still got to play within the rules of the game. They change the rules all the time. It's just part of the evolution of the game.
He's Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager. You're going to have a hard time getting thrown out of games given some of these rules that you can't go out there and yell at the umpire. So this might actually be something positive for you.
This could be my year, Dan. you know that. I mean, I was thinking about that before we went on here. I'm like, I'm probably not going to get, you know, they're discouraging it. I mean, the umpires are going to be traveling with us at times. I mean, you just can't do it. So this is my year.
That you don't get thrown out. So the bet is you don't get thrown out for 60 games.
No, I don't think so this year. I'm feeling really good. I've been doing a lot of yoga and stuff, meditating, a lot of namaste going on. So, I mean, I'm feeling calm right now. And I just feel like this is the year.
I'm nervous about this season, and I'm not even involved in it, Donnie. So just as, like, what's the conversation like at home with your wife about going into this?
It was a little different, right? Because, you know, we're in Indiana during the, you know, the quarantine, and they sent us out of spring training, and you watched what was going on in New York at the time. So that was kind of scary. You're thinking, you know, who would fly into New York now? And then we're getting ready to fly into Miami, and Miami's like on a spike, and you're flying right into it. I think it's different. I think you have to take care of yourself. I think there's a lot of responsibilities for yourself, for other people's families, team. It's going to be a different year, Dan. There's going to be a lot to deal with. And I think the team that can kind of get past that, and after you do all the testing and do all the stuff you're supposed to do, who can get down to baseball, right, and do it quick? And that's what we're going to be trying to do in spring. That's what every other team is going to be trying to do. They're all talking about the same thing. But the team that can actually do it is going to be the team, I think, that can, you know, maybe make some noise in this thing.
What do you think about the DH in the National League, how that will affect how you manage?
Well, it makes it a little easier, a lot less decisions to make as far as, you know, where, you know, you're changing pitchers, you know, do you have to double, not double, all that. You're just making pitching decisions. So that makes it a little less complicated. I don't say it makes it easier, but it makes it a little less complicated. I think it helped our team, but it helps everybody. You know, it gets us, we had our lineup is getting better. And we can use that spot to be able to, you know, get an extra guy in the lineup, mix and match our lineup a little better.
Give me the guy in your lineup that people should keep an eye on if this season does get underway. Is there somebody under the radar?
Well, Brian Anderson, I think everybody with us has been under the radar. Brian Anderson is a guy that's been getting better and better as a young player. Pretty good mechanics, uses the whole field, pretty good mentality, got some power, getting stronger. That's the kind of guy that can continue to break out. So he's a guy to watch. Isan Diaz, to me, a guy with a great swing at second base. We just got to get his confidence where he starts to believe that he's a big leaguer. But he's got a really nice swing. And there are other guys. Obviously, Jonathan Villar is fun to watch. Came over from Baltimore. Jesus Aguilar, you're asking him to, you know, hopefully have another big year. Corey Dickerson. So we got a pretty good little group going on if we can perform.
I just figured it out. You look like Patrick Swayze a little bit.
I don't know if you know our old trainer, Gene Monahan.
Yeah.
He used to tell me that all the time. You know, he would say that. So
I get it.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Did you ever meet Patrick Swayze?
I did not. I watched Roadhouse a lot, though.
Well, I bet you. I feel like you lived Roadhouse.
Huh?
I feel like you lived Roadhouse at some point in your life.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, can't do that anymore.
And once again, you know, no spitting, no sunflower seeds, social distancing. You're still allowed to adjust yourself, right? They're allowing that, right?
That's part of my new sign set, because you got to stay above the neck. And you can't be above the head. You can't touch the face. It's always changing.
Great.
You got to be able to adjust.
Oh, no, I know.
You got to be able to adjust.
I got it. Little play on words there. There he is. He's our Patrick Swayze. Donnie, great to talk to you, and good luck.
All right. Thank you, guys. Right. Appreciate it.
Don Mattingly, Marlins manager. Yeah, I kept looking, and I was going, man, he looks like Patrick Swayze. And then he's been told that all of his life, so. Good to talk to him, as always. These stories, these guys always remember the most minute details. Golfers and baseball players. Because if you say, remember that time you faced McGuire? It was third inning. No, it was second inning. And the count was, it was 2-1. You know, I started him off with, pitchers remember, man, hitters, they remember everything. It's amazing how it doesn't matter. The great ones, they just remember. They have that ability for recall there. But, yeah, I'm going into spring training. Go in there optimistically, of course. Clemens only started against the Yankees. He faced 30 batters. Complete game. Mattingly went 0 for 4. What did he do in his career? 311 against batted 311 against Roger Clemens. But you know, that's where you get out and get emasculated. Mattingly, great fastball hitter. And as he said, there was nobody who's going to throw a fastball by me. He faces Clemens in 86, and Clemens was bringing cheese. And just to say to Mattingly, you think you're a good fastball hitter? You see that one? There's more where that one came from. Yes, Eden.
I love those little moments like that, sort of like the game within the game. You know, just these individual battles.
And, you know, a lot of these things, like, they don't even know what they know. Because he'll say, I don't know if I ever told you this story. You know, we accidentally hit Mark McGwire, and I know Tony La Russa is going to hit me. Like, that's with Tony with the A's, he was going to hit you. You just knew it. I'm at first base, dugout's 8 feet away, it feels like, and I hear Clemens say, I'm going to, you know, crack somebody's helmet. And he's saying it to Don Mattingly, one of the biggest names in the sport. Yeah, see.
And even just the recall of in the moment being like, oh, yeah, I remember that time 35 years ago. I mean, just like that, you bring that moment up. Oh, yeah, that time I faced him in 86. What?
I know. It's good stuff. All right, McLovin, did we settle on a poll question?
Okay, I have sports ones, and I have a few silly July 4th ones. Do you want those at some point?
Yeah, I can go silly.
I want to start with the question, are you a fireworks guy?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Explain. So you don't enjoy watching fireworks in the sky?
Well, as a parent, I always look at what could go wrong, especially with my kids. And so we had sparklers. That was it. And I remember being in a movie theater where somebody threw in a smoke bomb. Like, there were just, I didn't have pleasant memories. It wasn't like, hey, we'll all gather and watch fireworks. But I can watch them. I don't need to be walking around, you know. There's guys who really, they're pyromaniacs. They're like, I love this. Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah, I really only enjoy them on the 4th of July. And then after that, I have almost no use for them. But I love them on the 4th.
But, you know, then you got these knuckleheads who are firing off fireworks before the 4th of July. So this whole week, you're just hearing people, you know, setting off firecrackers. Yeah, McLovin.
What about the ones in the sky, like the setup, like the big, everyone gets together,
it's
the Macy's Day Parade?
I mean, it's fine. But if you said I went through the 4th of July and I didn't see any fireworks, I'd be okay. As Todd says, Jason Pierre-Paul agrees with me.
Yeah, you know what?
Nice. Thanks, Todd.
Sometimes I got to learn the hard way. I love looking at fireworks. I just don't understand anyone that actually wants to shoot them off. Unless it's some kind of professional setting, like the Macy's, whatever, July 4th thing, and you've got professional people that set it up, like McLovin was saying, and they shoot it off for everyone to watch. But why would you want to light it yourself?
We have friends who have 4th of July fireworks on the beach every year, and I don't go. And so they had a mishap a couple of years ago where like a Roman candle or something went backwards. But that doesn't stop them from doing it. It's just like, hey, you want to come over and you want to go to the fireworks? And I go, no. Yeah, see.
We'll do every year we go to Cape Cod and we go to this one beach. It's Red River Beach. And every family that goes down there brings a ton of fireworks and like good ones. Like my brother-in-law will go out, you know, a month before and we'll all throw in some money and he'll buy like $1,000 or maybe even more than that. Right. Yeah. And everybody, there's bonfires on the beach and everybody is sort of lighting off fireworks and it's not competitive, but it's sort of like, whoa, this year the people five houses down went really heavy or something like that. And it's awesome. It's great. And it starts just as the sun's going down and tends to go pretty late into the night, and it's a great time.
And fireworks played an important role in my life because when I got married and I was on one of those cruises, you know, those yachts that go around Manhattan where you rent the yacht for 3 hours. And I'm from a really small town in Ohio, and my family came in and they'd never been to New York. So we're on a yacht in New York. And the yacht takes us out to the Statue of Liberty. So you're right under the Statue of Liberty. This is our wedding reception. And all of a sudden, they are doing a fireworks rehearsal. And the fireworks are going off right over the Statue of Liberty. And for years, my father-in-law took credit for that. He had nothing to do with that. But my family, coming from a small town in Ohio, thought that was the greatest thing in the world. We can't believe that your father-in-law spent all that money. And then he would say, nothing's too good for my daughter.
Rather be lucky than good any day,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. But the timing of it. So you go out there. Everybody is on the deck looking up at the Statue of Liberty. It's all lit up. It's beautiful. In case you haven't heard of fireworks, we decided to give you some sound effects.
This is what
there.
They sound like.
Yeah, great. Because people are probably going, I don't know what fireworks sound like.
Because I haven't been hearing them for the past two months.
Yeah. But, man, you had those things, bombs bursting in midair. Like, it was, we were patriots out there under the Statue of Liberty. It was awesome. It was great.
That's great.
Yeah. And then the reception went downhill after that. Couples were fighting. You couldn't get off the boat. The people wanted to stay on the boat. People we thought might fall off the boat. Guy got his nose broke, throwing me up in the air. My shoe came down and broke Eddie Arce's nose. Yes, McLovin.
Were there any famous people on board who did anything noteworthy?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I figured some of your old Sports Center buddies might have been.
No, nobody famous. Gary Miller was the life of the party.
That's what I was curious
about.
Yes,
Gary Miller at one point tied his cummerbund around his face and yeah. Let's take a break. We got Play of the Day coming up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Yes, McLovin.
One more poll question. Actually, I got off Twitter. It was a big debate last night. Mm. If you could afford it and you could have one, like a week vacation coming up, would you rather stay on a lake or at the beach?
A lake. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I voted beach on Twitter last night.
There's some great lakes like Montana, Whitefish Bay, Lake Winnipesaukee. Like those, the water is crystal clear. Yeah. Give me a nice lake. I'm good.
Wow, I think ocean kind of won the...
Yeah, but the beach, you go to the beach, it's a hassle going to the beach.
Doesn't something about the Mediterranean, though, sound good or something like that?
Well, that's kind of a big lake.
I mean, it's mostly closed in on every side, except for this one little straight.
Yeah.
But getting your bare feet on the bottom of the lake or the pond is terrifying.
But see, I'm trying to get you out of the beach environment because you saw a shark and almost died.
It was last year. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you guys remember that. I was sort of setting you up to get great way. And by the way, we're supposed to go back to that beach this year.
Man, you're so brave.
I got to tell you, there were shark sightings near where you live. On the Long Island Sound.
You're so brave.
Did you know I've seen a great white?
Yeah. Aren't you afraid? They're coming down.
I've only run into good white sharks, not great ones, just good ones. Yeah. And once again, I still don't know that designation. How do you become a great... When you're born, are you a great white shark?
You're just born great?
Yeah. I mean, it's like born rich. I mean, come on.
Average white shark.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of people pointing out the Thousand Island dressing is made with mayonnaise. So
It wasn't as crazy as you thought. Mayonnaise on fries.
No, that's not good either. No,
that's gross.
Oh, it's not. What are you talking about? Greg in Illinois. Hey, Greg.
Hey, DP. Happy early Independence Day to you and the boys.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. I'm with you on the fireworks. Holiday-related question for you guys.
All right.
What is the most important item for a 4th of July party? Is it the grill or the Traeger, the fireworks, the beer, or the body of water? Thanks, and go Salukis.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg. Southern Illinois. Yes, Todd.
Got to be the food. You got to have the Traeger. Then those things are extras as far as having a body of water or fireworks.
I thought you were
going
to have your mic off a little bit more today.
Am I talking too much today?
Because Paul's not here.
I thought you liked what I contribute. Because then sometimes I get quiet for a couple hours, and then like, where were you today? And now I'm talking too much.
Let me see if I miss you contributing. How about we try
that?
That's
so mean to say that.
Just try that.
Holiday weekend.
I just feel like Paul's not here. You book some great guests. And
a little chatty. I'm a little too chatty.
Just a little.
For your taste.
But I like the enthusiasm. But this is Fritzy Friday on a Thursday.
It's hard to handle. Hard to deal with.
Pre-vacation good guest
list. Yeah.
Sans Paul. This is, just a perfect storm.
My blood pressure is probably
Todd
like 100
behavior.
Over 60 right now.
Yeah, you're good right now.
This would be a good time to take it.
Yeah. All right, 1 hour in the books, two more to go. We'll check in with the Patriots, Scott Zolak, their radio analyst, get his thoughts on Cam Newton. One of the great stories in the NBA, Duncan Robinson, the Heat forward, will join us. Tony Clark, executive director of the Baseball Players Association. Wonder what he thought of my interview with the commissioner yesterday. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show.